Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Prophecy by A.E. Villa. Narrated by Nathaniel Black. Dying is a doorway to another life. He lives today, he'll die tomorrow, and he shall live again. In many forms shall he return when I need him. All my children will again live in harmony and love. The Mother's Resurrection Prayer. Chapter 1. Justice.
I'm sorry to disturb you, Alpha, but unfortunately this can't wait.
Justice lifted his head when his brother and first beta Alec came through the door and went straight for the remote control to turn on the television in the den of the cabin where he was staying.
If you look behind me, you can see all the mayhem and chaos. It's a nightmare. Shifters and vampires fighting in the middle of the street. Pedestrians are afraid to walk through here to get to their residences. Businesses are closing early out of fear.
Justice rubbed his hand across his forehead while he listened to the news anchor woman overdramatize the events. The recording was on a loop. There were 5 wolves and 3 vampires posturing behind her. Between the way the vampires moved with lightning-fast speed and the intimidating growls of the wolves, it was understandable humans would be frightened.
When was this? Justice asked.
Last night. The wolves are still in holding cells in Carson City.
Send a few pack leaders to get them, please.
Justice kept his anger to himself. It was a rancid odor no shifter liked to smell. When his brother didn't respond, Justice looked up from his desk. His brother was almost as tall as him, at 6'2". Justice's hair wasn't as curly as his brother's, and his eyes were an astonishing shade of arctic blue, while Alec's eyes were a shade paler. His trait passed down from the original pack of Siberian wolves they were descended from. His brother looked uncomfortable.
Spit it out, Alec. The governor of Nevada is requesting to see you personally. He won't release the shifters to anyone else.
Alec rolled his eyes.
I tried to reason with the man, but he's being a bit difficult. I told him you were extremely busy, Alpha.
This is crazy. I can't go to Nevada right now. I'm still working with the Secretary of State on getting them to approve our new registration system.
It looks like we have no choice. The mayor is threatening to get the National Guard involved.
Alec shook his head sadly when Justice's head shot up in surprise.
The National Guard? Alec?
Justice lifted his nose and scented. His brother wasn't being dishonest, but he wasn't telling him the whole truth either. Alec sighed, knowing he was busted, and opened a thick manila envelope that Justice had paid little attention to.
This is the printout of attacks and incidents involving shifters and vampires reported in Nevada in just the last 8 months.
Justice growled, making his brother struggle against his energy. His brothers Alec, Macaulay, and Taleb were all very strong alphas, but none held an ounce of the power that Justice had. He was careful to lock down his strength when he was around other shifters, especially alphas. It could make their wolves anxious to feel pushed. Justice took a calming breath.
All of that happened in only 8 months. Why didn't I know about this?
Justice stood to his full height.
I put one of the pack leaders in charge of Nevada and...
Justice cut his brother off.
Never mind. I just called a meeting.
Justice was able to communicate with all the shifters telepathically. Some were a bit rebellious and would put up blockers or have witches cast spells to protect their thoughts. But if Justice really wanted to exert his full power, none of those things could keep him out.
We need to get this resolved. If it gets reported to the National Guard that I have lost control of the shifters, then the government will try to take them from me, lock them in cages for years, for even the slightest infraction.
This could start a war, Alpha, his brother said seriously.
There was no way they could face another war. It had been over 200 years since the last one. It was still used as a teaching tool on what not to do. Whether between shifters, vampires, or humans, if they fought, the casualties would be too great on all sides for any species to call it a victory.
But you want to meet now, when we're here visiting on another Pax land? We should not talk politics here, Justice.
His brother continued to voice his concerns as a couple members of his pack came into the room.
They're far enough away and enjoying the celebration too much to hear us.
Justice raised his nose and took a couple deep inhales. He smelled no one around except the ones he'd summoned, his immediate circle. Justice pointed to the long conference table next to the patio door and gestured for his pack to take a seat. Justice sat at the head, letting his large frame sink down in the chair. The accommodations while he was visiting the Black Mountain Pack had been top of the line. He was used to packs going out of their way to receive him when he visited, either for business or pleasure. He refused to stay in hotels. There was no way that his wolf would handle that. He had to be free to shift and roam. He also couldn't connect with his wolves if he was in the city 12 stories up. He and his pack were staying in the newly renovated building their hosts used for guests and as a recreation center for the pups. It smelled like a good pack. That's why Justice was there. To congratulate the Black Mountain Alpha on obtaining an associate's degree in architecture from the College of the Sequoias. It was a major accomplishment for a shifter to even attend and complete public grade school, let alone graduate from a college. Justice was one of very few wolves that had a master's degree. He and his pack had implemented education programs and scholarships all over the country for shifters who wanted to continue with schooling. Many of the older wolves and those on the shifter council didn't like this kind of change. They still preferred the pups to be homeschooled or taught only by shifters until maturity, and then taught a trade to strengthen the pack. The fact of the matter was times were changing, and packs had to keep up, or they were going to get run over or run off. Educating shifters gave them the tools they needed to bring back and help bolster the pack. Shifters still lived off the land. There were a few wolves that chose to live in the city or burbs surrounded by finery and things that operated at the touch of a button. They were called lazy wolves.
"Is everything okay, Alpha?"
his sister Farika asked him. She eyed him cautiously and quickly pushed positive emotions in his direction. Justice released a soothing breath. His sister was an enigma to most. She was an alpha, but her name meant tranquil leader, so she didn't flex her position. She sat down fourth, before all the pack leaders. His three brothers, his betas, sat before her. Justice's security taking up position around the room.
"I know this was supposed to be a pleasure trip, the kind that are few and far between for us, but I'm afraid we will have to cut this one short."
Justice ran his hand over his jet-black, wavy hair.
"I've just got word that there was a damaging disturbance in Nevada. While it wasn't catastrophic, this is the one that broke the camel's back. The governor has had it with wild shifters and temperamental vampires."
"Josiah was on Nevada's case,"
the third oldest brother, Mac, said, his deep voice resounding around the huge room.
"Speak up."
A man standing close to the door with a yellow legal pad in his hand slowly stepped forward. The stench of fear rolled off him. Justice needed a few of the members allowed in his personal pack to be a functional administrative pack, as well as wolf warriors. As the leader of all the shifters in the United States, Alpha of the Alphas, he had to have capable wolves to help him keep track of and control over 150,000 shifters. Justice was one of the youngest Alpha Zeniths in history. When his mother was killed by hunters, his father had resigned early to live his days alone without his mate. Justice had no choice as oldest male in the original pack, descendant of the first Don Wolf, to take his official title.
"Alpha," Josiah addressed Justice's brother by his birth-earned title. "I've been there and disciplined several wolves myself. Carson City has one of the heaviest populations of shifters and vampires. I tried to..."
"Why do you have to get involved personally?"
Their sister leaned forward, her body language showing her concern, but her face as beautiful and serene as always.
"You don't handle infractions. They wouldn't ask the President of the United States to come handle a few rowdy criminals."
Justice crossed his arms over his chest as he walked around the large conference table, lightly touching each of them as he passed. His touch was an extreme comfort to any wolf.
"True. But this governor is well aware of shifter human politics. He knows I'm working hard to keep the government from demanding national shifter registries or regulating our population. We can't let the humans build shifter prisons. But I can't battle the laws of their land when our shifters keep breaking them with no consequence."
"You've done your best to negotiate the compromise, Justice," another one of his pack leaders spoke up. "You've built 5 shifter prisons with shifter funds,
Funds that were taken away from schools and the building program Farika worked on for months.
I know you made a tough decision, Justice, to delay that program. You had no choice. If you hadn't built the prisons, then the humans would have. No wolf should be confined to a cage the size of a kennel. They shouldn't be allowed to shift and run only on the full moon like we live in some sort of Werewolf in Paris movie. Shifters need to shift and run regularly, some even daily.
His sister's words were emotive and full of truth. Justice did hate postponing her program, which would have provided shelter for lone wolves that were kicked out of their pack or had run away from abusive alphas. That had not left Justice with any positive points remaining with the Shifter Council or packs across the country. He wished his shifters would understand that everything he did for them. It wasn't easy battling those crooked officials in the state's capital. They felt they ruled the world. But Justice knew the law. His masters in constitutional law from William and Mary had served him and his packs well. He filed all the necessary injunctions, motions, affidavits, petitions, and every other legal document he could think of to stop the government from railroading them. The world had known about shifters and vampires for almost 10 years now. Things started off rather amicably, not too many protests from the humans, and law enforcement was content that crime levels didn't spike due to prejudices. They didn't become hunted, shifters were already used to staying hidden and keeping to themselves, and vampires were the usual elusive bastards they always were. Kind of an out-of-sight, out-of-mind thing for the humans. Like all things, life evolved. Shifters got brave, especially the teenagers, and ventured out into the cities and clubs, flexing their muscles and showing off their advanced abilities. For the most part, as long as the shifters weren't aggressive and didn't freak humans out by shifting in public, then humans relaxed and everyone got along. There were even a few reported instances of shifters making rescues and saving lives. Of course, the wolves could do nothing without the vampires rising up and trying to outshine them, hence their bite. The humans discovered it and the nation went insane. Not only did a vampire's bite, the elixir in their fangs, feel so good it could make an impotent man orgasm on the spot, but some could even heal an illness with their bite, so Justice had heard. Life was good back then, and Justice's father's job was not difficult. Pax thrived and were happy. His father would show up to functions, ceremonial celebrations, and visit Pax for support. There wasn't the constant problem-solving Justice had to deal with. His mother said it's why she named him Truthful and Powerful Ruler, that he'd one day have great tasks to complete and thousands would lean on him.
Fate has a way of working things out, she'd always say.
As more years passed and more vampires came from overseas, the natural rivalry between shifter and vampire flared like dying embers catching a gust of oxygen and raging back to existence. No matter how often he'd sent his enforcers and pack leaders out to police the rowdy bunches that disturbed the streets, it still seemed to be getting out of hand. There had been incidents of innocents getting caught in the crossfire, businesses suffering or being targeted or refusing to serve customers they thought were shifter or vampire. Once the hate and bigotry start, history indicates, an uprising usually follows. Justice couldn't allow that. The shifters that were causing trouble needed to be dealt with swiftly, so more didn't follow their pattern of behavior. We're going to go to Nevada and have sit-downs with their officials. Let's see if we can cool their tempers. We don't want the guard involved, which is completely unnecessary. AZ. Using Justice's nickname, the pack leader responsible for Nevada spoke up, but the look on his face said he really didn't want to have to say this. The shifters that were arrested. Two of them tried to resist arrest. What? Justice gasped. This couldn't be good. He looked at the faces in the shifters' mugshots spread across the gleaming mahogany table in front of his seat. They looked young and afraid. Yes, and an officer was killed when the wolf shifted to get out of the handcuffs. Oh, no. Justice dropped back down in his chair. This was terrible. A weaker, less powerful human, vulnerable to their strengths, an officer of the law killed in the line of duty by his shifter. Because of a frivolous feud with vampires. No wonder the governor was requesting him personally. The people wanted answers. They wanted justice. This wasn't in the report I got, Alec growled, sitting next to Justice. We were not informed of any deaths. It just came in. The officer died of his injuries 2 hours ago. The state has charged all 6 shifters with first-degree murder, malicious wounding, assault with intent, and about 5 other charges against an officer of the law. The man closed his folder. I understand if I'm removed from this case, Alpha. Justice didn't want to get back up. His heart was heavy for the cop who'd died. Had he had a family? Oh, dear mother, what's happening? Justice's emotions were jumbled, and he felt empathy like no one else because of who he was. His chest hurt for the dead cop, and his wolf wanted to console its pack. Justice could sense the discord in his reprimanded pack member, could feel the young man's genuine sorrow and disappointment in himself for dropping the ball and directly affecting his alphas. His wolf was cowering inside him. Justice walked up to the young man and crowded in close to him. He didn't scent him with his face. That was too intimate. Instead, he used the back of his hand and brushed it gently across the man's scruffy cheek, causing him to cast his eyes down and tilt his neck for more. Justice comforted the man's wolf until it was satisfied his alpha wasn't upset with him.
Brother, I don't think they're going to release the wolves to you. This is the first time any law enforcement agency has officially charged one of our kind. Our shifters have never been in their penal systems. How are they even processing them? Will they have official criminal records? They sent us mugshots. What do you think this means?
Alec asked Justice. Justice's youngest but not smallest brother, Taleb, finally gave his input after listening carefully. He was named after a seeker. He was an intellectual with a bachelor's in philosophy. This is new territory we have to explore expeditiously. We'll have to get there and get our answers. We're learning nothing sitting here asking each other questions.
He looked back at a couple of Justice's assistants, standing a few feet from his chair.
Make the arrangements immediately. See if there are any packs that can house us. Check with Miko, the Humboldt Pack Alpha, first.
Yes, sir.
One of them nodded in answer. I'll need to have a conference call with the council as well. I'd like to get their advice on this.
Justice looked around at his small pack.
They hardly agree with your suggestions, Justice. Their ways are so archaic. If we keep it up, the humans will have control over us in no time. Everyone will blame you, Justice, even though the Council keeps trying to tie your hands, Alec said sternly.
Talking about the Council was dangerous. Nosy ears and gossipers would love to have that piece of juiciness to report.
I'm not going to let them take us over. I'll file motions to have the shifters released to my custody. I'll escort them to the shifter restraint facilities personally, Justice declared.
They think our jails are a joke, Justice, Alec said.
Why? Because there are no metal cells? Or because the shifter isn't in a 6x8 concrete room? They hate our correctional system because our offenders don't have to stay in isolation for 20 years to life. That's torture to a shifter. The humans don't torture their prisoners. Why should we torture ours? A human can stay behind bars for 50 years and not go insane. Or so they think,
Farika said gently, but her words were true and influential.
They want you to keep rogue wolves incarcerated longer, Justice. 6 months is a slap on the wrist in the human correctional system, Taleb said, as he steepled his fingers while in thought. You've already explained in your petition to the Supreme Court that shifters are too tactile to be kept away from companionship for years. It increases the risk of them turning feral. We don't even want to think about feral wolves coming back into existence. Fact of the matter is, Justice, you're going to have to set a hard example now. You are one of the most compassionate and understanding Alpha Zeniths ever to lead, but you'll have to exert your power sometime, brother.
Justice nodded. His brother was right. All the demanding work he and his pack had done to protect the wolves of this country, he would not let a few disobedient ones condemn their entire population.
Brother, what if the shifters that are in police custody cause more problems? What if they try to escape and hurt more people?
Farika asked, her baby blue eyes scanning all her brothers for answers. Justice raised one hand and closed his eyes. No one spoke. He could feel the room around him shrink from his mind while he concentrated on 6 particular shifters. He was connected to all of them, but hopefully they weren't trying to block him. He gave his shifters free rein over their thoughts. If they didn't want Justice in, he wasn't a tyrant. He didn't force his way in. Justice finally reached their minds. They were so afraid, all of them. They needed structure, regulation, and guidance. They needed an alpha. Justice reached out to his wolves. I am coming. Behave until I arrive. He could feel more than hear their surprised gasps and fearful reactions. Justice released a breath and opened his eyes.
They'll behave. Alec, please request the Black Mountain Alpha's presence. I'll let him know myself that we have to leave due to unforeseen circumstances. This pack has been nothing but hospitable these past 2 days. Perhaps we could have a short run with them before we get on the road. I'm sure the pack would appreciate a run with you. We came to congratulate them, not put a damper on their celebration.
Alec was already walking towards the door.
While your pack is preparing the vehicles for transport, you can stretch your wolf.
Agreed, Justice rumbled, and stood to see everyone out of the large room. His pack was 30 strong now. Only his most trusted family and confidants could join. It was a hard-working pack, and they all had important jobs to do. His 3 brothers and his sister were his counselors. The rest were pack leaders, enforcers, and support staff. He didn't always travel with his entire pack, but he concentrated better when he had them close.
Chapter 2. Justice. Justice felt a young pup nip at his tail while he ran with the Black Mountain pack, and most of his own, through the thick forests of Black Mountain Grove. It was beautiful. The blazing southern central California sun had set a couple hours before, leaving the forest floor firm and warm under his large paws. His wolf was huge compared to the others, and the young pup seemed to be getting a kick out of Justice and his brothers. As descendants of the first wolves, the Siberians, that meant they were larger, and their features differed. They were more exotic from the wolves that had evolved in the States. Justice bumped the young pup with his hindquarters, sending him sliding along the forest floor happily before yipping playfully, bounding back to his paws and running, panting in an effort to catch back up to Justice. A few young wolves had playfully tried to knock him over, but none were successful. It had turned into quite an entertaining game for them. Most of the pups had dirt, grass, and twigs sticking out all over their fur. Justice's underbelly was still pristine white. He was enjoying himself. It wasn't often he got to run with a pack as large as Black Mountains. They were a united pack, having survived wildfires, land poachers, and a few lone wolf attacks. Alpha Jansen had done well, keeping his pack prosperous, and Justice had come to acknowledge him on a job well done. Not many alphas took such pride in their position. Some still fed off power and fear, using intimidation to control their packs. That's why they were having all the problems in their society now. Faulty leadership. It used to be only humans and vampires you had to worry about. Now Justice had to worry about alphas running off their pack members, forcing them onto the streets where they could easily find trouble. Without the supervision and security of a pack, a wolf would lose their direction first, then their humanity would slowly disappear. They were almost to the peak of the mountain. The air was slightly cooler up higher, but it was still California in September. Justice took his position up front and led the pack the last couple miles to the summit. Justice howled, vocalizing his own personal call, bending his head back further to elevate the pitch, a sound that could be heard from miles around. He communicated a lot of feelings with his howl. This pack was favored by him. Joyous, answering howls went up into the night. They chased and hunted together for a couple more hours before his brother Mac trotted over.
We have to go. The RVs are ready. We can get to Carson City by 7 a.m. if we leave in the next hour.
Justice and his brothers were the only shifters that could communicate telepathically when in either of their forms. Most wolves could only do that with their mates once they'd completed the bonding.
We need to let everyone calm down after the shift, Justice called out to the pack, telling them to head back.
Justice shifted back and walked out of the tree line back to the main pack lands. Obviously, nudity didn't embarrass them. But because of the day and age, most packs discouraged pack members from roaming the lands completely naked. Justice headed back to his jeans and tank top. All of his pack members hadn't shifted yet, still tussling and humping with some of the more mature members of the Black Mountain Pack. Alec and Justice stood there enjoying the sight of shifters being happy and getting along like the mother always intended.
"Excuse me, Alpha, Alec, I'm sorry to interrupt."
A strong but enticing voice demanded their attention. Their visitor turned her almond-shaped eyes on Justice.
"AZ, my name is Uriel Jensen. I'm the Alpha's oldest daughter. I'm an unmated female alpha. I requested permission from my father to tend to any needs you may have after your run.
Justice could clearly sense she was an unmated alpha, and there was no mistaking her potent arousal. He appreciated her politeness and official introduction, and Justice was the first to admit she was stunning. He couldn't believe the beautiful female, well into her 20s, was unmated. Surely neighboring pack alphas had been knocking, requesting courtship. Female alphas were rare. It was even rarer for one of them to lead a pack. But there were some female-only packs that had started up by accident and were approved by Justice, nonetheless. The alpha's daughter wore a short maroon suede cloth that just barely covered her privates, and a threadbare halter top. Her long black dreadlocks reached below her round bottom, and her sleek ebony body still glistened from the run. She was a sight to behold, a fitting mate for any alpha. But there was no need or time for mating. However, he was still a powerful wolf with the same needs as any other male. After a run, their hormones and libidos were at their highest. He was glad the full moon was long gone, or else he might have had an even harder time resisting her request. Justice was still debating her offer to help him relax when he caught a flicker of light in the distance. It was nestled deep into the woods where they'd just emerged. A rush of balminess and tranquility overcame him, making him gravitate toward the light. He'd already started walking when he remembered his brother and the Alpha's daughter. He turned back, not wanting to be rude. "Thank you, Uriel, but I only require peace and quiet after my run tonight." Justice spun and took off in the direction from which they'd just come.
"Justice, where the hell are you going? We have to leave in half an hour."
"I'll be back by then. Just need a minute."
Justice cut the communication to his brother and kept jogging farther into the dark woods. He got to a small clearing, stopping mid-jog to peek around a tall dogwood. It looked like the trunk was glowing. Justice shielded his eyes when an iridescent figure appeared from behind the thick tree, her long white sundress floating up behind her like a special breeze was created just for her.
"Mom," Justice sighed. He wanted to run up and throw his arms around her, but he knew that wasn't possible. "Look at my big boy. You just keep growing up."
She smiled affectionately at him. She was always so beautiful, long, dark brown hair and sharp blue eyes, eyes that saw everything, even their futures.
"Last time I saw you this close, you were just receiving your blessing."
"You saw me?" Justice asked.
"I had to look. I know it's secret and no one bears witness other than the mother and her elements, but I couldn't resist. I had to look at destiny being fulfilled."
The thing she could see always amazed Justice and his siblings as they grew up. She saw the world changing before any of them did. Justice received his blessing at age 30. He wished he had seen his mom at his blessing as the 120th Alpha Zenith. It would have made it so much more special. Justice was simply glad his mom still came to him occasionally to guide him, or when he was his most troubled. She usually came in his sleep, and he'd known it wasn't a crazy dream the first time it had happened.
"Is everything okay?" Justice asked seriously.
"Such an alpha, all business." She shook her pretty head sadly. "I could hear your thoughts about a mate."
Justice opened his eyes. He'd been enjoying his mom's delicate voice, sounding so much like his sister's. He tilted his head back, smelling the vanilla, butterscotchy smell of the thick bark he leaned against.
"Are you here because I didn't take up the Alpha's daughter on her offer, Mom?"
"Good grief, I hope not.
She was lovely, but it would have gone no further than a few hours, which I don't even have. I don't need a mate. I travel too much to keep a mate happy and tended to."
Justice's mother and father had been very much in love. He'd barely survived her death. If she'd been his true mate, he'd already be dead, not just extremely depressed. There were very few true mates who found their other halves these days. But when a wolf bonded with another, whether true mate or not, it was still an intense connection. Sure, sometimes Justice's nights were long and lonely. As the AZ, he had his pick of unmated females or males to satisfy him at his whim. But it wasn't in him to use anyone's body because he held the title. He always felt like they were doing it out of duty, and not for him. He didn't want to die alone and untouched by a mate, but how would he ever find one? Justice was sure his mom was just being a concerned parent and didn't want him to be alone, wanted someone to care for him.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?